Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Not exactly monitored by Big Brother, but maybe, who knows. But we have somehow slipped through the cracks, and we have broadcast to tens of thousands around the country and around the world over the last 14 years, and we're thankful for our listening audience. I mention Big Brother only because George Orwell's book 1984 is now a major Broadway play.
Really?
And yes, and according to an interview the AP did with George Orwell's son, who apparently appeared at opening night, George Orwell calls the book his father wrote prescient and said, here's the quote, "As the decades have gone by, world events tend to collide with 1984, and suddenly everyone wakes up and says, this is a bit Orwellian, isn't it?" And I think he's got a point there.
Yeah, I think that'd be strange to have people talk about your dad. Your dad has become now an adjective.
Yes, yes, he is. And we use the word Orwellian ourselves from time to time on this radio program because George Orwell was a bit prescient and he could see what was happening. Of course, I think he was working off of already what was going on within the Soviet Union. So he understood the Eastern Bloc nations were going through this heavy-duty socialist system in which the big brother, that is big government, had its eye on just about everybody. But since the time he wrote this, the 1940s, the American governments have also grown substantially. That is, if you take the entire government funding of the nation, states, local governments, and you divide it by the GDP, what you see is that the take of governments has increased from roughly 20% around the time he wrote this book to closer to 50% now. So governments are now making up about 50% of the gross national income in the United States of America. I'm sorry, the USSA, the United Socialist States of America. So things have changed dramatically, very, very dramatically since the 19th century, and people need to understand that the bureaucratic state is much, much, much bigger and is much, much more Orwellian than it was in the 1940s when George Orwell wrote the book 1984, and certainly it is by orders of magnitude greater than it was in the early 1800s, thanks to democracy. Yes, it is democracy that has brought this phenomenon into the modern world. The old tyrannies didn't have anywhere near close the control that the modern democracies have gained over the peoples in most of the established nations around the world. And why is that? Because democracies love tyranny. Friends, get that down. Write it down. Be sure you teach it to your children. Generation after generation, they need to understand that democracies love tyranny. Why? Because they have abandoned God. That's why. Man is capitulating to the Orwellian state and does again and again and again, because as man throws off God as the sovereign, the ruler over all the world, what happens? But he will submit himself to the sovereign state. He always turns himself into God. He's going to have a God, and so he will turn the state into a God. He finds security and salvation in the state, and he willingly submits to 1984. Happens again and again and again. Friends, the modern world has abandoned God. That is God, the sovereign God who is sovereign. God who's definitively sovereign, who continues to be sovereign even if man denies his sovereignty. But when man denies his sovereignty and throws God off, he will always wind up submitting himself to the sovereign state because he finds that security and salvation in the state and will willingly submit as a slave to the 1984 Orwellian state. And it has happened in this country and around the world, and we have so many examples of it.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to look next door, look at the cameras on the light posts.
Cameras,
cell phones,
cameras
everything,
everywhere. Absolutely, we are monitored everywhere. I have a friend who has friends who program computers for these cameras that are monitoring the activity of individuals on just about every street corner in the Denver metro area. So, yes, there is the monitoring of every single person in the Denver metro area going on, even right now, by cameras on every street corner. This is going on in almost every city around the world, and it's only been added in the last 10 years or so. Yes, we are 10 times more Orwellian now than we were just 10 years ago, thanks to technology, and people willingly submit to this stuff. Government officials, social controllers are monitoring everything on your Facebook account, your online activities, and man naturally submits himself to the all-seeing eye of government. He embraces the total security found in government because he denies political freedom, walks away from political freedom, and willingly kisses the chains that bind him. Why? Because he has thrown God off. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an example of how this happens in a Christian preschool in Sweden in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Steve on in studio as we talk about the 1984 state, which is creeping into just about every Western state today. And here's an example from Breitbart.com where a Christian preschool in Sweden has banned children from saying grace at mealtimes, talking about the Bible, or saying amen. Now, remember, this is a Christian preschool. A Salvation Army Christian preschool in Sweden has been banned from saying grace at mealtimes, talking about the Bible, or saying amen. The kindergarten's manager is interacting with this in this Breitbart story. She says, as a confessional activity, we knew we could no longer have prayer time while children are at their desks where they learn, so we thought we would add grace as a nice feature during mealtimes. We interpreted the law differently from the municipality. Well, now she says the kids sing a rhyme and give thanks to the sun, the rain, the moon at mealtimes. We allow the kids to choose to whom and whatever they want to give thanks. Now, Steve, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking 1984. Yeah. I really wouldn't think in 19. The woman is talking like an automaton.
Yeah.
If you listen to or read 1984, you're going to find that those participants in the story, this 1984 totalitarian state, talk like automatons, because they have been trained to love the 1984 state, and they have now appreciated it, and they want to thank Big Brother for coming in and telling them exactly what to do, because we have to obey 1984. We must obey 1984 because the state is God, and I must submit to the God of the state, and therefore I am an automaton, and I submit to the state. This is the message I'm getting from the kindergarten manager at a Christian kindergarten out in Sweden, friends. These people are slaves. They're minions to the 1984 Orwellian state. This is the psychophantic, obsequious submission to the nanny state. I think it's sickening, Steve, to hear this woman, or to read what this woman is saying in response to the gendarmes who are imposing this humanistic state ideology upon this Christian preschool. And she's saying, we must submit to the God state. We must submit to the God state. We must submit to the God state. Are you getting it, Steve?
Yeah.
This is what she's saying. She is the most psychophantic minion of the state that I think I've ever seen. And yet, I think this kind of thing is repeated in our country all the time as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no way that you can pray. I mean, they're silencing even students now, when it used to be that the valedictorian of the class could say the prayer at the end. But now they're saying, no, you can't, even though it's student led. It's just all going nuts.
Well, my encouragement to the Christians still remaining in Sweden is stop compromising with the state, friends. You got to fear the true and living God. You must disobey the state. You must break the law. You must fear God, not the Pharaoh. You must break the laws of Pharaoh because you fear the true and living God more than you fear the God state on earth, the beastly state on earth. Be willing to go to prison for this. You know, the last Christian parents in Sweden, I'm convinced there are at least 100 Christian families left in Sweden. I believe there are at least 100 Christian families left in Sweden. I'd encourage anybody left in Sweden who still believes in the Word of God, who still submits to the Word of God and fears the true and living God and embraces Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right into our program at host@generations.org, right into the program, and tell us there is a Christian left in Sweden. If there are Christian parents left in Sweden, get your kids out of these preschools. Get them out. Get them out now. Get them out of these preschools that will not fear the true and living God. Get your kids out of these preschools now. And homeschool them. Homeschool your kids in Finland or England or somewhere. But homeschool your children. Get them out of these Christian preschools, these pagan Christian preschools, and don't submit to the tyrannical beast-like state. You have an obligation to bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I think of Revelation chapter 14, where the third angel said with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand and begins to say, we must obey the beast. We must obey the beast. We must obey the beast. If you're saying that kind of thing, if anyone worships the beast in his image, he himself shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented. That is, the one who submits to the beast and his image will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest or night or day, who worship the beast in his image and who receive the mark of his name. But here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You say, which commandments of God? I would say, here's one. Bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hang around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. These are the words of Jesus. These are the commandments of Jesus. And there are those who worship the beast. And then there are those who keep the commandments of God. And friends, I encourage you, if you live in Sweden, do not worship the beastly state. That is the all-powerful state that does not allow you to keep the commandments of God, but rather keep the commandments of God yourself. In the face of the beastly state, do not submit to the beastly state when they force you to violate the commandments of God. That's the message here, Steve.
Yeah, it reminds me of Peter and John in the book of Acts when they'd healed the man born lame, and then they proclaimed that it was Christ that healed him, and then they preached the salvation through Christ alone, got hauled in front of the council, and they said, don't preach in this name anymore. We don't care if you're healing people, just don't preach in this name anymore. And Peter said, you judge for yourself. Will we obey God or will we obey man? We cannot help but speak in the name.
I think what we're seeing here is the rise of the modern socialist state. The Swedes have become as bad as the Nazis and the Soviets of the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. I think this is what's going on. The Swedes are as bad as the Nazis. The Swedes are as bad as the Soviets. You know, the number one issue when it came to Christian persecutions in the Soviet Union, in Romania, in under Ceausescu, and the Chinese persecutions, if you read the stories, why were they persecuted? Why were the Christians persecuted? What was it they were doing that brought upon them tremendous persecutions in Romania, China, elsewhere in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s? What was it? Why tortured for Christ? What were the issues? Two things: evangelism and especially the education of children. This is it again and again. It's the education of children. It's always related to Sunday schools, youth baptisms, and homeschooling. You are not to evangelize the youth. You're not to disciple your own children in the Word of God in your home as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That is the commandment of God that was not allowed to be kept in Romania. Just read Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand, friends. Read the stories of those who were persecuted. You say, why were Christians persecuted in the 20th century? What was the salient issue? What was the material issue that brought persecution down upon the people of God in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s? And you'll see it again and again. You'll see it with China. You'll see it in Romania, in the Soviet Union. The issue is education. The issue is the discipleship of the next generation. As Hitler said, we already have your children. He said that to those who were the detractors. We already have your children. Our agenda is to go after the children. Marx said the same thing in the Communist Manifesto. Public education for all was essential. Public education for all was the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Friends, this is the thing that is the ultimate rub against the Christian faith, the Christian church that is trying to operate in some of these countries. You say, why would they want to persecute Christians in China? Because families and churches are attempting to disciple the children in the Word of God. The battle is over the hearts and souls of the next generation. The enemy understands this, whether it be in the communist East or in the socialist West, it doesn't matter. Either way, we're all persecuted for basically the same thing. Read these persecution books and you find out the reason why they want to educate, because the state wants to control the education of the youth, period. The state wants to control the education of the youth, period. The same thing is true of the American public schools and the Swedish public schools. Same issue as what was going on in Romania in the 1950s and 1960s as what is happening today. And so now, Steve, I think this is what we're up against. But I think there's another issue here as well, and I want to bring this out. What they're trying to do in these Swedish preschools is to separate God from the preschool. That's the bottom line. They don't want them to acknowledge God. They don't want them to pray to God. They don't want them to fear God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the education classrooms. And this is precisely what the Supreme Court of the United States has done in the United States since the 1960s. They have forbidden by law that any teacher, any Christian teacher, teach the beginning of wisdom and knowledge as the fear of God in American public school classrooms. They do not want Christians to teach the beginning, the foundation, the very essence of education. That is the foundation of all knowledge and wisdom, and that is the fear of God in American public school classrooms. And it is this separation of God from preschool that is so essential. You know, let me give you an example of this. Well, one of our church members, a young lady, was doing some babysitting for a family who was attending some church down in Denver. And this little 2-year-old, 3-year-old was with our young lady for a number of hours one evening. And something really neat happened. And our young lady said, I think we need to thank the Lord. Let's just pray and thank the Lord. And this little 2-3-year-old turned back to the babysitter and says, we only do that on Sundays. Now, see, that's the very essence of the problem right there. The little 2-3-year-old put it in excellent words, and that is the American mindset of the American church today is that church belongs on Sunday. God belongs in our thinking and our talk on Sundays, but he does not belong in the history class, the geography class, the science class, or the literature class. He does not belong in education. So there's this massive separation between God and education in the minds of the average Christian in America.
Yeah, and see, the question isn't whether or not your children will be discipled. It's by whom will they be discipled? And, you know, we believe that this discipleship, including education, academics, needs to be parent-directed, free from government control, and Christ-centered, but free from government control. The government wants to disciple your children so that they can control them when they grow up, and then that this whole thing will pass on from generation to generation. They have a multi-generational plan, just as we should have a multi-generational plan to bring our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord so that they can bring up their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord.
there are two things, two differences we have with the secular state on education is what we're saying. The first is that the state wants to disintegrate the relationship of parent to child in the education process. The second is they want to disintegrate God from the education process. So parents and God get separated out of the education process in the mind of the modern socialist or the modern Platonist or the modern Rousseauian or the modern Marxist. I don't care who you say, who you talk about on the Marxist side of things, but the humanist always wants to separate out the parent and God from the education process. But that's just the opposite of Deuteronomy 6:7 that says, "You shall teach your child as you sit in your house, and my words shall be as a frontlet between their eyes." That is, you integrate God's word into their education, their growing up experience. You integrate God into their life. You integrate the parent into the teaching. This is essential in Deuteronomy 6:7. But these are the two vital elements of education that have been destroyed by the modern socialist state. You know, this sacred secular dichotomy comes from Thomas Aquinas, ultimately, who built up a system of education that separated out two forms of knowledge. One is a sacred knowledge, the other a secular knowledge built up on human reason. So he separated them out. He called them two forms of knowledge that are separate from one another. And he said there's two forms of knowledge that is sacred knowledge, that's all that biblical stuff. And then we separate out a secular knowledge built up on human reason. And this, my friends, is why the Swedes disallow any recognition of God, any recognition of the Bible from the preschool in Sweden, the Christian preschool in Sweden, may I say. Well, again, this comes from Thomas Aquinas, friends. This is the European concept of education that has been foisted upon about 800 years of Western education. This is it, my friends. The separation of two forms of knowledge that build up on human reason and sacred knowledge. You know, I was listening to a classical education talk from a Christian, and here's a quote. I want you to interact with it, Steve. I just copied it down word for word. This is what the man said. "The tendency to mention God on every third page in Christian curriculum is humiliating. It is disgraceful."
Wow.
Now, what does that mean?
See, it should be on every page?
No, he's saying it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
We shouldn't mention God. God should not be mentioned in science. God should not be mentioned. God should not be a frontlet between their eyes.
Yeah.
God should not be on every third page in Christian curriculum. That's humiliating. That's disgraceful. Friends, this is a classical education talk from a Christian.
Wow.
From one who acknowledged himself to be a follower of Jesus Christ. This man says the tendency to mention God on every third page in Christian curriculum is humiliating. It is disgraceful. This is, again, the separation of sacred knowledge and another form of secular knowledge built up on human reason. They argue for a separation of the study of God from the study of his world, a separation of the study of human nature and the study of God. You know, even Jesus Christ had two natures, but those two natures are not to be separated. Distinguished, yes, but not to be separated. That's absolutely key in education. And this is what these classical educators are missing. That yes, there's a study of human nature. Yes, there's a study of God, but they're not to be separated. Distinguished, yes, but not separated. Friends, this is the theological foundations that is largely missing in the modern world and has been for 800 years. The fear of God absolutely must be the beginning of wisdom. Worship should be on every page in the biology textbook. I was looking at one Christian chemistry textbook, not one prayer to God, not one praise to God. Mention of luck. He says good luck here and there throughout the book, but I'm not seeing. There's actually a couple mentions of God, but no real praise to God, no real prayer to God. In what, 500 pages of the probably one of the best quote unquote Christian chemistry textbooks out there. Now, this classical educator would call that shameful that there were even a couple of mentions of God in this chemistry textbook. He calls that shameful that you would actually mention God 6 or 7 times in 600 or 700 pages. Now, yeah. I would say that it's shameful that this quote unquote Christian chemistry textbook does not have a single prayer to God, a single praise to God in some 600 pages. That's the take I would make on this. For indeed, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In other words, what I'm saying is that Christian curriculum is sadly, sadly lacking in a mention of Jesus Christ, a mention of the glory of God, and encouragement to the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. This has been largely lacking, and certainly lacking among homeschoolers today, certainly lacking among Christian schools today, certainly lacking among Christian schools in Sweden today, where apparently they're reduced to praying for the sun or praying to the sun. All right, my friends, I'm not talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about the sun that shines in the sky. Okay, so this is what's going on in Swedish schools. They're worshiping the sun. They're worshiping man. They're worshiping just about anything else, but they will not worship the true and living God because the state requires that they not worship the true and living God. And what happens is the psychophantic slaves of the state bow to the state and will not rebel against the state in order to serve the true and living God in the way they educate their children. Friends, we need to see a radical reformation in the area of educating our children. And that's why we have our Christian curriculum project we have produced over a period of the last 6 or 7 years. We have just now brought out some 5 grades of core curriculum, the 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. We have just now brought this forth, and we are now producing it and offering it on our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. We encourage you to a self-consciously Christian curriculum. And this is what we've produced as part of the Generations radio program and the Generations ministry. I encourage you to the generations.org website. If you have yourself not received a distinctively Christian education and believe that you need to supplement your own secular education with a Christian education, it's never too late. Even if you're 25, 30, 35 years of age, I encourage you to the basic Christian curriculum that we produced as part of the Generations ministry. You can access this curriculum for yourself or for your children or for your grandchildren at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The NOAA Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at noaaconference.org. That's noaaconference.org. It's Friday, June 30th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Northern Ireland remains steadfastly pro-life, according to Reuters. Belfast's High Court had found in a 2015 ruling that the Irish pro-life laws breached the European Convention on Human Rights by failing to provide exceptions in cases of fatal fetal abnormality or sexual crime. But yesterday, Belfast's Court of Appeals ruled that the court has no say in abortion policy, remanding it back to the Irish legislature. Meanwhile, the British government is making plans to fund abortions for women from Northern Ireland who wish to kill their unborn children. An amendment to Queen Elizabeth II's speech, which will constitute the legislative agenda, advocates for abortion funding and has collected widespread support even from Prime Minister Theresa May's Conservative Party. The British Medical Association has voted in favor of bringing a resolution to Parliament that would allow open access to full-term abortions. Roger Kiska, legal counsel for Christian Concern in England, told The Worldview this sets a wrong direction for England.
Decriminalization would remove scrutiny from private abortion providers at a time when they are increasingly under the spotlight. I mean, we can't forget the Planned Parenthood videos in the United States. Here in the United Kingdom, there was a Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph uncovered illegal sex-selected abortions. So it's really a question of why should abortion providers enjoy unregulated practice when this would be absolutely unthinkable in any other area of healthcare.
Tim Farron, the UK's Liberal Democratic Party leader, resigned from his position earlier this month for not towing the party line. Farron opposes abortion, and when asked if homosexuality is a sin, Theron said, quote, "We're all sinners," unquote. And in a speech he gave at the Liberal Democrats' headquarters, Theron said, quote, "To be a political leader, especially of a progressive liberal party in 2017, and to live as a committed Christian, to hold faithfully to the Bible's teaching, has felt impossible for me," unquote. Luke 15:10 says, "There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Alberta, Canada school board officials are cracking down on Christian schools in the area. The school board chair, Lori Scorey, found Cornerstone Christian Academy's use of certain scriptures in the school handbook offensive and informed the Christians they, quote, "should not be read or studied in school," unquote. This Christian school, along with most Christian schools in Canada, is publicly funded and subject to public censoring. Here's the problematic verse in this case, 1 Corinthians 6:9. "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." American private Christian schools are celebrating the Trinity Lutheran Supreme Court ruling announced on Monday. They are hoping that more government funding for their programs will come out of this. Release International reports at least 160 more Christians have been detained by Eritrean officials. 12 children are reported to be included among the imprisoned believers, including one two-month-old child. Pew Research data on Christian support for homosexual faux weddings broke down the numbers by denomination. It turns out that apostasy rates for evangelicals are far higher than other segments of American faith. Evangelicals have increased their support for sodomy by 250% in 10 years. That compares to only a 70% increase for Catholics and a 60% increase for mainline denominations. 47% of evangelicals born after 1964 now support homosexual marriage. The UK Guardian has issued a 2,000-word investigative article on Jay Sekulow, the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. The article referred to a fundraising nonprofit called CASE that has, quote, "steered more than $60 million to Sekulow, his family, and their businesses," unquote, since the year 2000. It was divine intervention that saved the life of baby Violet. MercyTreeMedia.com covered the story of Allie, the mom. 3 years ago, Allie says she was in an abortion clinic in Ventura, California.
There I was on the table with an IV in my arm. I just knew God was telling me not to go through with this. I yelled at the doctor and nurses to stop, and I got off the table and left.
Watch the entire video in our transcript today at theworldview.com. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, June 30th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.